AT&T launches 5G in more cities, but can you use it? Connected dash cams, Amazon employees listening to your Alexa commands, how to change that, and T-Mobile launches TV. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMiro. This is Rich on Tech. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to a fresh day on the podcast. In fact, it's the first time I have someone here to help me out with the podcast. So this is my producer, Megan from KTLA. Megan, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Megan helps me out at KTLA with producing the Tech Report, Tech Smart, as it's said on TV. And you've also probably seen her in some of my videos. She is ready to hightail it out of here to Coachella. So we're going to probably speed up this podcast for her.
Yes.
You excited to be here to do some viewer questions today?
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thanks for letting me read some questions.
Yeah. So I know every week on the podcast, I say I'm going to bring back the phone calls. That is definitely part of the Rich on Tech podcast. Technically, it's just been a challenge, but I will tell you, we have Megan, we have new equipment, and we will be getting those phone calls into the podcast. But for today, you know, you guys send me a lot of emails, right? So today I've selected a couple of emails and Megan's going to read them and I'm going to answer them as well, in addition to the normal tech news I do here. So if you're new to the podcast, if you found me through Leo or some other method, this is the podcast where I talk about the stuff that I think you should know about that happens in the world of tech, right? It's not the podcast for, you know, the specific tech nerd. It's basically kind of just a lot of things that I find interesting, unique, and kind of the tech stuff that I think the average consumer should know about. So let's start with the story kind of the week. And this is kind of one of those stories that it's a no-brainer. Like, we know this is happening, but when it's put in print, all of a sudden people get up in arms, right? And this is a story about Alexa and Amazon workers listening to what you say to Alexa. So how did you think that Amazon was able to improve the Alexa service, right? This thing is not a vacuum. So what happens is, according to the Bloomberg article, Amazon has thousands of people around the world that are listening to these recordings that are captured in Echo owners' homes and offices. And what they do is they make sure that Alexa responds in the way that you might imagine, right? So I gave the example in my video I made for YouTube of, if you say, "Hey Alexa, play music from The Weeknd," and all of a sudden Alexa says, you know, "What time would you like me to make your appointment this weekend?" You know, that doesn't make sense, right? So that might be something that one of these employees listens to and says, "Oh, interesting. The Weeknd is also the name of a band. So we need to tweak what Alexa says in response to that." That's what's going on here. Now, obviously, in the process of listening to these things, what do they hear? Well, all the stuff that goes on in your home, right? Kids screaming in the background, people singing in the shower. In fact, some of the workers said they picked up what they believed was a sexual assault. So pretty crazy stuff. But as you imagine, with millions and millions of people using these smart speakers, there's a lot of stuff out there. So Amazon said to Bloomberg that they take security and privacy very seriously. And here's what I'm saying. You just need to know about this stuff. Obviously, Google's doing the same thing. I'm imagining that Apple's doing the same thing. But if you do want to turn off the ability of Amazon employees to listen to your recordings, and they're not just doing this, you know, like if I work at Amazon, I can't just be like, "Hey, let me go ahead and listen to a couple of recordings." No, these are teams that are doing this professionally, you might hope. I mean, obviously, people are probably laughing at some of the things that they hear. They're human, right? And they're listening to these things. But if you do want to turn off these settings, here's the privacy options. Number one, go to amazon.com/AlexaPrivacy, and that's your privacy page for all things Alexa. You can actually listen to all the recordings that you've, all the things you've ever said to Alexa will be on there in a list. You can listen to those. They're kind of funny. But if you want to change this privacy setting, go to the Alexa privacy, manage how your data improves Alexa, then help develop new features and toggle that off. If you're on the mobile app, it's pretty much the same. Open up the Amazon Alexa app, go to the menu, which is the three bars in the upper left-hand corner, then settings, then Alexa account, then Alexa privacy, then manage how your data improves Alexa, and then help develop new features, toggle that off. It sounds like a lot, but believe me, once you get into the Alexa settings, it's pretty darn easy. All right, Megan, do you want to do the first question? Because it is related to this, right?
Yes, it is. So this first question is from Kelly Russell, and she writes, so the Alexa app does keep a list of commands that Alexa heard. It's a manual process, but you can delete the commands in the app. So are they deleted locally or on a server somewhere? That's her first question.
Okay.
And then her second question is in regards to Apple. So she would like to know if Apple makes it possible for Siri users to review and delete their Siri commands, or if this will ever be an option for Siri users. Best, Kelly Russell.
Okay, Kelly Russell. Thanks, Kelly. Great question. So number one, yes, when you delete, so first it has to do with the recordings, and it is nice that Amazon allows you to hear your recordings, right? Because it is eye-opening to hear what you've said in pretty private settings to this voice assistant, right? And people probably say some pretty private things as well. So that's number one. They do that. Google does that. So you can also do the same thing for Google. You can go in and listen to all the things that you've said to Google Assistant. And you can delete them as well. Now, you're asking, are they deleted locally? Are they deleted on the server? They are deleted on the server, but we don't know what the time frame is. Are they deleted instantly? Are they queued for deletion? And in the case of, let's say, any sort of crime or any sort of police, you know, if there's something where the police want a recording, I bet that they can probably magically bring those recordings back to life. So just because you hit that delete on that weird question you asked Alexa does not mean in my brain that it goes away forever. So that's number one, and on Google. When it comes to Apple, Apple is a little different than these other companies. As you know, they're much more private. They're a little bit different in the way they handle things. They say they take privacy very seriously. As far as I know, you cannot access the things that you say to Siri. Now, I think part of that maybe is that they're doing some local processing on the phone and they're not necessarily sending it to the server. I'm not sure about that part. But at this point, no, you cannot get a listing of anything that you've said to Siri, and you can't delete them from Apple's standpoint. So thank you, Kelly. I do appreciate that question. All right. Now let's talk about YouTube TV. So I was at the launch of YouTube TV about 2 years ago. And they promised, and I loved it back then, by the way, and I still do. I still think it's pretty amazing. I think what YouTube did was awesome. They basically built a cable box into an app and a web version of TV. And they, when they launched, it was $35. There was just a couple channels. It was a couple dozen channels available. There were some that were good. There were some. Here's the thing. Like everyone, when it comes to cord cutting, all they really want to do is subscribe to the channels they want. Right? I don't need 100 channels, right? I just want two channels, which is Disney Junior and Nick Junior for my kids. And guess what? I have to pay $50 a month just to get those two channels through DirecTV Now because it comes with 80 other channels that I could care less about, right? Are they nice to have sometimes? Sure. If someone's like, oh, there's this great show on Investigation Discovery. Sure. It's nice, but I don't need that, right? And I can certainly get that show a la carte if I need it. So what we really want in our world is a la carte channels. Clearly, nobody's giving that to us except for things like HBO and Showtime and Cinemax, but those are really expensive, right? So people just want ESPN for $5 a month or $10 a month. Some of these channels, Bravo for $1 a month, right? CNN for $1 a month, but we're not getting that. Anyway, I digress, but YouTube TV is raising prices once again, showing that it's really tough to compete with cable. So their price is going up to now $50 a month. So in the past 2 years, we've seen from $35 to now $50 a month. And YouTube is defending it by saying, look, we're adding Discovery channels. So now you get Discovery Channel, HGTV, Food Network, TLC, Investigation Discovery, Animal Planet, Travel Channel, and Motor Trend. And as if that's not enough, Oprah Winfrey Network is coming later this year. But is it good enough? And here's the thing. Everyone's complaining on Twitter that like, oh, see, these cord-cutting companies, none of it matters. It's all the same price. And I agree with that. But here's the difference to me, and I've said this before. I'm not cutting the cord because of saving money, right? I understand that if you're Time Warner or Warner Media, whatever they're called now, and Discovery and HBO and all these big companies, they're not just going to let their business go by the wayside by saying, okay, fine, we'll give you whatever channel for $1 a month, Animal Planet. We'll let you have that for $1 a month because we understand that you want to cut the cord and you want to save money. No, they sell these things as a bundle for a reason because they need to keep up the costs to do their programming, right? And so the reality is that I did not cut the cord for the money savings, right? I don't think I'm saving any money. I'm paying $50 for DirecTV Now. I'm paying $16 for Netflix. I'm paying, what's the other one I do? And then I do $65 a month for my internet. So, I mean, you add all those things up, and yeah, it might be cheaper than what I was paying for DirecTV before, but it's still, it's to me, it's not about saving the money. It's about the fact that I can cancel at any time I want. If I don't want that, I can get rid of DirecTV Now. If I don't want HBO, I can get rid of HBO. If I don't want Stars, I can get rid of Stars. It's also the interface of the software. It's way better to have the interface from these apps than it is on a cable TV box. Have you used a cable TV box lately? They're terrible. Right? I tried to use them. We were in a hotel room last week and they had Spectrum. Sorry to call you out, Spectrum, but the box was like navigating something from the 80s or 70s. I kept pressing buttons on the remote and it like didn't even respond to me. And so I kept like mispressing everything because it was so slow. I don't find that on my Apple TV or my Fire TV. And so that's why I enjoy having even DirecTV Now, which is still, you know, big conglomerate, at least the software on DirecTV Now is way better than what DirecTV was. It was so bad when I had that. It was like, this is what I'm paying like $300 a month for. So anyway, now you got a big price increase. If you're YouTube TV and Netflix, this month was a rough one because you got an increase on Netflix and an increase on YouTube TV as well. Now, speaking of TV, T-Mobile is starting up TV once again. They are starting something called T-Vision. And this is kind of a relaunched version of something called Layer 3 TV, which they bought a couple years ago. And they're relaunching this cable service in Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, New York, Philly, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., all on April 14th. Now, I thought that they were going to deliver this via wireless, right? They bought the company, and Layer 3 TV pretty much delivers it through regular conventional cable, right? But their big thing, T-Mobile is saying, because this isn't much cheaper than cable, it's $100 a month. There's a little discount if you're a T-Mobile customer and for people that sign up early. If you sign up right now, you actually get the T-Mobile customer discount, which is $10 a month. So that's available to everyone. And you get all the channels. But here's the magic they're doing. They're saying, look, we're going to give you the best of cord cutting and the best of conventional cable TV because you get all these channels plus all your apps or a majority of the, or I shouldn't even say majority because I'm not really sure, but they're promoting that they have Netflix or they're going to have Netflix. They're going to have Amazon Prime Video and also Pandora. Now, this is a unknown. I'm not sure. I'm going to get some hands-on time with this thing next week, but here's my thoughts on it. My thoughts are this is a good in-between. Like if you're not ready to 100% cut the cord and go to Apple TV or Fire TV or antenna, this is kind of an in-between technology, right? Because you're still getting all that goodness of cable, but sort of packaged and delivered in a relatively newer and better way. You're not saving much money because I already said it's $100 plus you have to pay for your internet. But it's smarter. The software is way better. So what it looks like on screen is much better than your typical cable box. But what I don't like about this is that you're not on one of those platforms. And being on an Apple TV or a Fire TV or even a Roku, that's where all of the progress is right now with these apps. So you really think that the Netflix of the world really cares that much about their app for T-Mobile T-Vision, which like 100,000 people are on versus Roku where like a million people are on or more. So that's why to me it pays to be on one of these big platforms because you're getting the latest, greatest features, the optimizations much faster than you are if you're on something that's a much smaller platform like Android TV. People give me a hard time. They're like, Android TV is perfectly good. Well, guess what? Nobody's using Android TV. So the apps on there are kind of forgotten and the selection's not very good. All right, Megan, I haven't forgotten about you.
Oh, hello.
So do we have any more questions?
We have.
Have you selected the next best question? Have you placed these in a special order?
It's not in any particular order, but now that I know that there should be an order.
Well, I mean, you know, but they're all good questions.
Yeah, they're all good
questions.
So do you
have another good one for me?
Yes. This next question is from Rich Landry, and he writes, Hi, Rich. I have a Pixel XL, and I have a problem with my track phone coverage. Where I live, I get poor reception. Is it possible to switch to a VoIP system when I am home and use track phone on the road?
Ooh, good question. So let's see. So track phone, okay, so you're using track phone with a Pixel 2 XL. So the good news about Pixel 2 XL, what's really cool is that it is unlocked. So you can pretty much use it for anything. So it sounds like you're saving some money by going with track phone. And the coverage is not very good at your house. Okay, so what I'd recommend is, number one, the VoIP calling thing is kind of a pain because you're going to have to switch numbers and everything. There's not like a way to just turn on voice over IP calling on your Pixel 2 easily. It supports it. And yeah, you can use something like Skype or Google Voice or whatever. But the reality is, I think that's going to be a very annoying thing for you to do every time you get home. You got to use this thing to call people and this and that. And every time you leave, you got to use something else, the track phone. So what you need to do is you need to figure out, I'm on the track phone website right now, and it says that that Wi-Fi calling is supported for track phone. So that's good news. And I think it looks like you have to be eligible for it. So it's not just like a given where you can be eligible. But Wi-Fi calling, most of the phones support it these days. Basically what happens is with AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, all these carriers, once you're in a Wi-Fi place like your home that has a good signal, it says, oh, we can route these calls over Wi-Fi instead of our cellular network, and we'll just do that. And it's very seamless. You don't even notice. Personally, I don't like Wi-Fi calling. I don't think it sounds as good as traditional cellular calling, but so I leave it turned off on my phone. My wife does leave it turned on hers, and she seems to have good luck with that. I don't like it, but there is a place where we go, my in-laws' house. They do not have cell phone service in their home. I don't know why. It's been 10 years, and clearly for some reason AT&T and Verizon just have not found their way there. Only T-Mobile and Sprint work there. So when I go there, my phone just basically does not work. The Wi-Fi does, just not the calling, and I'm fine. I'll take no calls. Anyway, looking on their website, it does say that they support Wi-Fi calling, but here's the thing. It just depends on the phone. So the phone has to support it, which I know the Pixel does, but does it support it for the track phone network? So all you have to do is go into your phone settings, turn on Wi-Fi calling, see if that works. And also, you go on this track phone website, it looks like you can just enroll in Wi-Fi calling by entering your phone number. And then after you enter your phone number, Rich, you just type in this mobile code to confirm it. And it looks like you're all set up. So it looks like there is something, a little bit of setup that you have to do, but I think it will work. So Megan, do you have good service at your place?
Oh my gosh, do not get me started on this. I have the worst service, like, ever. I have AT&T.
And so are you using Wi-Fi calling?
Yeah,
at home?
That's
okay,
what
so
I
you use Wi-Fi
yeah.
calling. Do you yeah. notice a difference that it may be better with AT&T? Sorry,
yeah.
AT&T.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, it's fine, but Wi-Fi calling is just what I have to do if
yeah.
I need to make
And then
call.
It says on the top of your phone, like, M-Cell or something like that,
yes.
or like, yeah, Wi-Fi
yeah.
calling or whatever.
Yeah.
We used to have, actually, my in-law's house, the microcell. So it was actually a little mini cell phone tower mm-hmm. that you'd install there, and that would route the calls through the internet that way. It's kind of funny because now that's just basically built into cell phones, so you don't need that
right.
extra piece of equipment, which is really cool. All right, good question. Keep them coming.
Yeah.
I'll let you prepare for the next while I talk about AT&T being the first to offer mobile 5G in 7 more cities, including Los Angeles, and also Austin, Nashville, Orlando, San Francisco, and San Jose. But good luck trying to use this. This brings AT&T's 5G now to 19 cities across the nation. And what do you know about 5G?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You just know it's faster.
Yeah, and that you can do, like, cooler things with it. Like, I can't really elaborate, but you can do cooler things with it.
It's going to be better. Have you gotten that little icon on your AT&T phone? Because they started rolling out, like, a 5GE icon. Has that happened
no.
on your phone? No. Okay.
No.
So someone emailed me and said, oh, does this mean I have 5G if mm-hmm. you have that little 5GE icon on your iPhone? No, it does not. It just means they're using a slightly faster LTE network in your area.
Okay.
But it's not really true 5G. We do not have true 5G yet, for reals, because there's no phone that supports it on the AT&T network. Later this year, we will see the Samsung Galaxy S10 5G. Remember, we went to that event?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we will see that.
Good times.
And right now, the only device that you can use to access this is the Netgear Nighthawk 5G mobile hotspot, which is $500. By the way, 5G is also going to cost you more money on your monthly bill. Verizon's charging $10 a month. Here's the thing about AT&T launching this. They're so proud to send me an email and say, hey, Rich, you know, can you cover this? This is AT&T is launching 5G, but there's no information about it. You go on the AT&T website, I can't tell you how to sign up for it. I can't tell you how to find it on a map. There's no coverage map. I can't figure out which device I need for it. So right now, all these wireless companies are doing is bragging about 5G, but they're not truly delivering in a meaningful way. So you hear all the hype. To me, you're hearing it from Rich on Tech today. It is 2018. Wait, is it? It's 2019.
Yeah, Rich,
okay.
It's 2019.
Tech guy doesn't even know what the year is.
It's
2019.
Okay.
You do not have to worry about 5G until 2020. Mark my words. Rest of this year, it's a throwaway. Even next year, it will be touch and go. We may have it in a meaningful way. We may not. Now, don't get me wrong. I can't wait for 5G. I cannot wait to have this on my phone. I can't wait to have it at my house. It's going to do things for the home. Like you can maybe potentially replace your home internet service with wireless 5G, which is going to give some competition to the Spectrums and the other companies. And also someone doesn't have to come to your house to install cable or cable connection. But I can't wait for 5G. So don't get me wrong. I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm just saying like just hold your horses with 5G. Let these companies build up the networks before we actually get all hyped up about this. All right. Speaking, I think I said that last time. Mm-hmm. Speaking of dash cams. We did a story this week on these new dash cams, a new breed of dash cams that have cellular built into them, right? And so we looked at two of them. One is the Owl Cam. Got to go a little bit hands-on with this at CES. I did not test this personally, but this is kind of the Rolls Royce of connected dash cams. They invented the genre, kind of like Ring invented the video doorbell. So they're the best, but they're also the most expensive. They have the most features. So basically what happens when you build an LTE connection into a dash cam is you get a couple of benefits. The first benefit is that your video files are automatically sent to the cloud, which is really cool. So let's say worst case scenario, you get into a really bad car crash and your car's damaged, your windshield's damaged, and your dash cam is damaged. Like you can't recover the files off that. You're okay, thank God, right? Mm-hmm. But the dash cam is damaged. So now it's like, oh my gosh, I got into this terrible accident. Obviously got to go through insurance, all this stuff, and I can't even see what happened. So that's the number one thing is like basically now, of course, you might say, Rich, well, I mean, if the dash cam's damaged, how's it going to get the video up to the cellular connection? Well, maybe it's doing it like, you know, quicker than it gets, than it fries out. I don't know. But stay with me here. So again, your video clips are sent to the cloud in real time. So for instance, if someone bashes your front windshield with a baseball bat, your little video camera will record that and send it to the cloud immediately. And they're like, oh, shoot, someone just captured that on the camera. Let me take that camera too. Well, the clip is already going to be in the cloud. So you'll at least see the person who did it. Also, they have an OnStar feature in the Owl Cam, which if you get into an accident and you're unresponsive, it will call an operator to, you know, get you help. So that's kind of nice. Owl Cam is $350 a year. That includes a year's worth of, Owl Cam is $350. That includes a year's worth of subscription fees. And after that, it's $10 a month or $100 a year for the connectivity features. It's pretty useless. Don't get it if you're not going to do the subscription because it's useless. Now, the other camera I tested is called the Pure Gear Pure Cam. And Pure Gear is a company known for its mobile accessories. This camera, this device has two cameras as well. So it records inside and outside your car simultaneously. The other cool thing is you can live stream from this camera so you can see what's going on inside or outside your car from your phone, which is a new concept, kind of like when we got the Ring video doorbells. Same thing. You can check on your house from afar. This has GPS so you can see where you parked. And the setup process was pretty simple. I mean, the toughest part about installing these cameras is really running the cable from the power cable from the camera itself. Kind of have to do it like you kind of like move your your car like insulation or whatever. Like it goes in there though pretty easily. I was able to do it myself. And you plug this into your car's OBD port. And this is like your onboard diagnostic port, so not your cigarette lighter. That's where I wanted to put it in, but it does not work with that. You have to have a certain amount of voltage, and also it does draw some power when your car is parked to keep this thing alive in case of, if it notices something going on. So with that said, there is a G-Shock sensor in this, so it automatically starts recording if it notices any movement around your car. This was my favorite part. So every time my car is touched or moved or whatever, this little sensor, I get an alert to my phone. And it's really cool because it's like, oh, there's motion by your car, and you can look at the video, and you can see like, okay, was it just, you know, someone threw a ball at my car, or did someone just take my car, right? And on the flip side, when I brought my car in for valet parking at the Burbank airport, the guys who got in my car to park it, like I got a little video clip of them sent to me, which cracked me up. So you find some funny things with this stuff. It also doubles as a Wi-Fi hotspot, which is good for the kids in the back seat. And that's basically it. I mean, the Pure Cam, I'm pretty impressed with. It's $200. And the benefit of this one versus the Owl Cam is that you can bring your own network. So if you got a SIM card, you can pop in that SIM card as long as it's GSM, and it will work inside this. So GSM is things like AT&T, T-Mobile, basically everything except Sprint and Verizon is GSM. So if you want a prepaid SIM, you can do that with like something like, you know, Track Phone or Family Mobile from Walmart, whatever, Cricket, you can put those SIM cards inside and it will work. So I'm a big fan of the dash cam. I think it's in between technology because in the future, the cameras that are already built into our cars hopefully will take over this functionality because you have them on the front of cars, you have them on the back of cars, you have them on the sides of new cars. So hopefully car manufacturers will start building in DVR functionality for basically 24/7 recording of everything that's going on in your car. I think Tesla already does that. But other cars, that would be nice. And also the wireless functionality so that when something does happen, when there is movement detected, it will send that video straight up to the cloud, kind of in the same way.
I also wonder if car insurance companies are going to want to make sure that everyone has a camera in their car now. Because then they'll be able to see, oh, you were texting when that yes. turn happened and that's why the crash happened. Or you know what I mean?
Which is scary for privacy. That brings up a huge privacy concern because a lot of people are thinking from the way I was thinking of, oh, protecting me, but oh, hold on. What if I get into an accident and I'm like, oh, shoot, I was on my phone. Mm-hmm. Not that I would be because I'm not on my phone while I drive, but now it's like now my insurance company is suing me because they're like, well, we want to see that video from right. inside your car.
Right.
And yeah, that's an interesting another side of this. I actually got rear-ended coming out of the airport one time and I knew the lady was on her phone. I watched. Mm-hmm. I saw it in my, because I could see she was like on her phone fumbling behind me mm-hmm. and all of a sudden I just saw her slam into the back of my car. And sure enough, I'm like, oh my gosh, if I had my rear camera on the back of my car recording, this would be like, I would just show that and be like, now I was okay anyway. Like I still, she gave me the money, whatever. We worked it out through insurance, but like the reality is her insurance company is probably pretty angry because they're like, you shouldn't be on your phone. Mm-hmm. And now you just cost us like $10,000 or whatever. You get the smallest ding on your car and it's like $3,000 to repair it these days because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. So good point, producer Megan.
Yeah.
Who's next with the questions?
Okay. Next up, we have David Moore. The subject is cell phone insurance. Hi, Rich. My new S9 is great. Thanks again. I have a question. My son has a few mishaps with his iPhone SE. Can you recommend cell phone insurance companies? Verizon wants $13 a month. Thanks, Rich. David.
Great. So I must have recommended David his S9 a while ago. So I'm glad you're enjoying that phone. My favorite. So most people, when they think of insurance for their phones, they go to two places. They go to Apple for AppleCare and they go to their carrier, which the carrier insurance is always going to be the most expensive. But there is, and I'll tell you my alternative, but there is a caveat. So my favorite is SquareTrade. So SquareTrade is a third-party company. They are actually just recently bought by Allstate, which is really funny because now the car insurance company is also the insurance company for your phone. But the good news about SquareTrade is they're very simple. Like you basically go online, you can sign up in literally minutes. It's $9 a month, no matter basically whatever phone you have. And they do have some coupons out there. So be on the lookout for like promo codes, like do a little Google search because you might be able to find like even cheaper than $8-$9 a month. But you buy your plan, you buy it online, and that's it. It basically covers you for everything. And here's the caveat, like I mentioned. So with the cellular plans, and Apple has this as well, if your phone is lost or stolen, you can still get it replaced through the cellular plans. That's why they're so expensive, right? So the way SquareTrade saves money is that if your phone is lost or stolen, they're not going to replace it. So the only way they will do your phone is if it's physically there. So mm-hmm. in the case of my dad, his phone was ran over like 10,000 times by a truck the other day, a couple months ago. So if he was not, and by the way, he lost it on a highway. So he actually went back and found his phone like a day later.
Wait, so how did this happen?
Oh, how did it happen? He left. He's like, Rich, text me. He's like, I was in New York City. I put my phone on the roof of my car and I drove away. I'm like, Dad. He's like, I think I know where I lost it. It had to be somewhere in between the city and the Lincoln Tunnel. And I said, all right, well, let me go find my iPhone. So I turned on Find My iPhone on his phone. And sure enough, I saw it. I pinpointed it on the freeway from between where he lives in New Jersey and New York. But it was still there. So I think it was the last known location.
Yeah.
So long story short, he went back and found it. And it's this thing was crushed. You can look on my Instagram and go back a little bit. But his phone was crushed into a million pieces. It was still... The screen was crushed into a million pieces. The phone was actually safe because he had a spec case on it, which is my favorite case. I've got my phone right here.
There we go.
So, and of course, this is my dad.
Sponsored.
No, it's not sponsored. This is my dad being the older generation. Yeah. He actually took the case that was run over a billion times and put it on his new phone. He's like, the case still works. I'm like, Dad, are you serious right now?
That's funny. I bought my mom her case and she's been using it for the last 2 years. And yeah. It's like a $10 case from Amazon.
Oh, my mom, same thing. I bought her a $10 case from Amazon. And it was like, the thing was like all grimy and stuff. I'm like, Mom, really? She's like, well, you bought it for, I mean, anyway, so long story short, even if you bring your phone to Allstate in like a plastic bag filled with pieces, as long as they can identify that that was the phone that you insured, they will give you a new one or, you know, replace it or whatever. But that's it. So my recommendation, David, is to go with SquareTrade. I think you'll save some money, especially for kids. And, also, you don't necessarily have to send your phone in. If it's something like a cracked screen, they work with a lot of suppliers around towns where you can just go on, put in your zip code, and it will. They can do the warranty service like at a little local shop that they work with, kind of like auto body repair, right? You can just go to your local. You don't have to always bring it to like the Allstate, you know, auto body shop. You can bring it to like any auto body shop that works with them. So, great question. All right, a couple more stories. We'll move a little bit quicker here because these are the smaller things. But Audible changing the way they do their memberships now, and specifically membership credits. So I love Audible. I love audiobooks. But what happens is with Audible, I subscribe. I get really pumped around, you know, Prime Day when they have these great deals. I get a bunch of credits, and then all of a sudden I have too many audiobooks. I can't listen to them all, so I get rid of my membership. But they let you keep your credits, right? Well, I didn't realize, but your credits expire after 6 months. I didn't know that.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So you only have 6 months to use them. Now they're changing it where it will work up to a year. So that's nice. And this isn't Amazon being kind. This is actually a class action lawsuit against Amazon. And so that's why these things changed. So the suit alleges that Audible was not transparent about how it charged a customer's card, which I do agree with. And they also moved to a secondary card on your Amazon file in case the first one didn't work, which, that's not very nice. And also, I will say that this is the thing about Audible. If you don't look at your statement, you kind of forget because you don't get an email that says, hey, we just charge you for another month. And you kind of forget. And that's part of their business plan, I'm sure. Well, now monthly members are going to get an email statement every month saying how many credits they have and, you know, saying that they're going to get charged and how many unused credits they have along with their expiration dates. So I think I hate that it took a class action lawsuit to change these things into the consumer's interest, but they did a pretty nice job. All right. Do we have one more question?
Yes, we have one more question from Carol Hamilton. She writes, let's see, Prime savings at Whole Foods. I do not have a smartphone, only a flip phone, but I am an Amazon Prime member. Tell me how to get a Prime membership card to show at Whole Foods when I shop.
Ooh, good question. This is a little bit on the outskirts of like tech questions, but it's true. If you're a Prime member and you go to Whole Foods, you will save a little bit of money on your purchases. I find that it's kind of a joke. So every time I go to Whole Foods, which to be honest is now, I'm not going as often as I used to because, you know, I've got this thing called Milk and Eggs, which I've talked about, which I love. They deliver fresh produce to my house and I love it. So it's actually cheaper than Whole Foods. It's in the LA area. I'm sure there's something similar in your area if you're listening outside LA. But anyway, when you shop at Whole Foods, if you're a Prime member, there is a little code on the Amazon app that you scan at checkout, like a QR code that gives your discount, which is 10% off of anything that's on sale, which for me, I don't think it's ever been over 80 cents off my entire bill, which is kind of stupid. But anyway, if you don't have a mobile phone, you say you have a flip phone, the second option is to just basically link your mobile phone number with your Prime membership, and that will serve as your membership card. So if you ever go to something like Ralph's or all these grocery stores, you know, they ask for your phone number at checkout, you type it in and you get your Ralph's Club or whatever. Whole Foods does the same thing. It's just not as advertised. It's not widely advertised. So to do it, just go to amazon.com/prime savings. And there's option number two, which is update your mobile phone number. You link up your phone number. And next thing you know, when you get to checkout, you can just say, hey, can I pop in my phone number? And they will let you do that. All right. A couple more stories here. Two that deal with speakers, IKEA and Sonos teaming up for a new line of speakers. So they've got two. It's you had to help me pronounce this, Megan. Symphonisk.
Let me see it.
Symphonisk.
It's Symphonisque.
Symphonisque. Okay.
I don't know why I say it with a little bit of an accent.
Symphonisque. So two things. You've got a table lamp for $179 and a bookshelf speaker for $99. Both are shipping in August. I cannot tell you how excited I am for this.
It looks really cool.
They look really cool. I have Sonos. Do you have Sonos at home?
I don't.
Okay. Do you know about it?
Yes.
It's amazing.
And I know. It sounds, whenever I hear people's like Sonos speakers, I'm always like, why don't I have this?
Because it's expensive. It's super duper expensive. And I've built my collection of these speakers over the past like 7 or 8 years. Yeah. So it's an expensive thing to have, but I will say my speakers that I bought from Sonos, I've had now for going on 8 years,
wow.
Like some of the older ones. Right. But again, great quality. I love how it all works. It's seamless and I get it. We live in a world of, you know, Amazon, Google, Alexa, but this is just, there's something about every time I come home, I open up the Sonos app, I pick something from all the different music services I have, I select all speakers, and boom, I have the same music playing throughout my house. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. So now, the fact that I can get speakers, I'm already thinking for the bedroom on the nightstands, I'm going to get one of these speakers on each side because you need a light, right? Mm-hmm. You also want some music in your room, so that's cool. Then the bookshelf speakers will be awesome for the office.
Yeah.
And then I can reuse some of my Sonos speakers in rooms like the kids' rooms or maybe put them in other places in the house. So you can never have too many speakers in one room, right?
And in tech center.
Yes, I would like to get some here at KTLA. I will bring a speaker in here for KTLA as well. But again, these come out in August. I have not seen the quality, but since Sonos is putting their name on them, I'm assuming they're pretty good. And the other side is, yeah, they're more expensive. $179 for a table lamp is very expensive, but you're getting, to me, it's all about one less cord. So I only have one thing to plug in. Now I get a light and I get a speaker. I wish these had a USB on the back.
I was going to ask. So there's no USB.
I don't know. I'm looking at these press pictures here and I don't see the USB. But that would have been the $1 million thing to have, right?
Yeah.
Because then you can plug in. Maybe they have it. We don't know.
That would be epic.
But we'll see. And another speaker, the HomePod, which is also a really nice speaker, but super duper expensive. Talk about expensive. It was $349. Now it's $299. So Apple has cut the price by $50 on that speaker. The HomePod is really cool. If you are an iPhone world, you don't mind spending a lot of money on a speaker. It's great. And my favorite feature of the HomePod is that you can transfer your iPhone call to the HomePod and use it as a speakerphone, which is really fun. So I've done that a couple of times and it sounds amazing. If you have this thing in your office, you basically have a nice, beautiful speakerphone in addition to a speaker. But I find that the HomePod is a little limited because you have to AirPlay everything to it versus Sonos that sort of works as the other speakers do, which is through the internet. And finally, Microsoft confirms that you don't really need to safely remove USB flash drives anymore by ejecting them.
Yay.
So if you've ever used a Windows computer, you know that it always, or any computer basically. And this is a pet peeve of mine because I'm always moving. Do I move really fast, Megan?
Yes.
I'm like always kind of like going,
yeah.
Right?
You're like, what's next? What's next? What's next? Yeah. All the time.
So pretty much that's me.
Yeah.
And so for me to have to eject, to take that extra fraction of a moment to eject a flash drive out of my computer really annoys me. So on Windows 10, you basically don't have to do that anymore. They've admitted this because back in October when Windows 10 version 1809 came out, they quietly changed the default flash drive setting between, so it used to be, okay, let's see. It used to be safely remove hardware and eject media. So let's see. Okay. There's something called quick removal. So quick removal is now the new default, and quick removal means that the computer knows that you're in a rush, and so it will allow you to remove it at any time. That is now the default. Now here's the caveat. You still don't want to remove this drive while it's writing files, or you could lose stuff. And so that was always the danger in removing the flash drive, is that it could have been in a state of, hey, we're ready to write a file at any time. Now it kind of puts it in a sleep state. So I'm sure that by changing the setting, things are a little bit slower when it comes to accessing the flash drive, like for the first time when you go to drag a file. But on the flip side, you can just pop it out at any time and you're good to go. So are you excited about that?
Well, my question,
Mac,
yeah, I was just about to say, so Hopefully Apple will add that next.
I think so. It's one of those things that, like, always come on. Pull it out. I agree. So do I. And it's like, I used to literally always take it out without worrying every single time. Be like, come on.
Yeah.
I'm a tech guy. I don't really need to listen to these little warnings.
Right.
And now, of course, when I showed someone, I think I did like a YouTube video or something, and someone saw me do that, and they're like, no, Rich, actually, or maybe I tweeted, and IT people were like, no, you really need to eject it. So there is a reason. On the Mac, you still want to do it. And on Windows, unless you've updated to the latest Windows, if you're all up to date, then you're probably okay. Personally, I'd still want to go into those settings of the flash drive and just make sure that that's the setting. But you should be okay. That's going to do it.
All right.
For today. Thanks, Megan.
Well, that was fun.
Thanks for coming on the show. How can people get in touch with you? What's your, what do you like? Twitter, Instagram?
I am on Instagram and Twitter.
Okay.
Megan McMonagall is my name, and
I'm gonna have her change that to Producer Megan.
Producer Megan,
much easier to find.
I mean, yeah, my last name is a little bit difficult to remember, but Professor McGonagall is, you know, it's like that, but with,
is that a Harry Potter reference?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know Harry Potter.
I only read the first half of the first book.
Oh, me too. Oh no, me too.
You watched all the movies.
Yeah, I watched all the movies.
I didn't watch the movies.
Yeah, I grew up with Harry.
Yeah, see, I did not. Harry Styles or Harry Potter?
Oh, I wish Harry Styles. Because
your generation, it's both, right?
No, it is both. It's definitely both. Yeah, for sure.
We digress. Well, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Follow Megan. We will see. We'll see how she does on this show, and then we'll see if you want to be a recurring character, right?
Yeah, we'll take a poll.
I like the questions from the emails, so keep those coming. Hello@richontech.tv. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. I am at Rich on Tech on most places. And the newsletter. Have you been reading my newsletter? It's a brand new thing. Every Friday, I send out basically a letter to you personally. Well, you and like 9,000 other people. But it feels personal because it's coming to your inbox, right? So if you want to subscribe, go to richontech.substack.com or go to my website, richontech.tv, and click the newsletter. And every Friday, I send a little summary. It's kind of like this podcast in a newsletter form, but I also talk about like what I did that week, some behind-the-scenes pictures, and just tell you what's going on that you need to know in a newsletter form. It's a lot of fun, and I love the response I'm getting. If you wrote me a response to my newsletter, yes, I've read it, but I get so many responses when I send this thing out that I just can't write back to everyone. Mm-hmm. So if it's an emergency question, text me. My number is 310. No, just kidding.
Wait, can I just say that my mom loves the newsletter?
She loves the newsletter. She's
a big, well, me too, but like, you know.
But your mom more.
Yeah, yeah, she's a fan.
Well, thanks, Megan's mom.
Maggie.
Maggie
shout
was in,
out.
I'm putting Megan's whole family to work. So
Maggie
far,
is on Instagram. You can follow her at Megan's mom.
Megan's mom was in one of our viral videos, the rain video that went viral. Her dad was in one of our segments on KTLA, and Megan, of course, is now on the podcast. So your whole family is like, you have deep connections to KTLA. We'll get into that. We'll unravel more of Megan as we get into this podcast. This weekend, I'll be filling in for the one and only Leo Laporte on his show, The Tech Guy. You can listen on KFI AM 640 Saturday and Sunday. That is, let's see, the 13th and 14th of April from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you don't listen, you can download the Tech Guy podcast, or you can go to techguylabs.com to find a station near you, because it is syndicated across the U.S. So that's very exciting. Thank you, Leo, for giving me that opportunity. And if you found this podcast because of Leo, I am forever indebted to you, Leo, for bringing me so many podcast folks. That's going to do it for today. RichOnTech.tv is the website to go to for all things Rich on Tech. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you real soon.